Thank you, Shirley. Appreciate that. Each of us has a personal sense of identification, an idea of who we are. Now, we spend a great deal of time learning about ourselves. Some of this curiosity is universal, asking questions that apply to all of us. We notice the similarities of all humanity, beginning with the material form, with its traits and its characteristics, the physical body, and the work of thought. In this world of existence, this is the shared identity. Now, the Bible refers to this as the terrestrial body, earthy, the one of the earth. We read that this body has its own glory, its own essence, its own nature, purpose, and reason for being. And when we live according to the dictates of this self, we fulfill its nature, toiling in the fields of opposites, planting seeds of discord and conflict, but also seeds of harmony and agreement. 1 Corinthians 15:39 continues with this explanation. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Each prospers and grows according to its internal nature, fulfilling God's plan for creation. Now, the Bible reminds us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We read this, and we may think that God has done something just for us. However, God does not pick and choose, favoring one over another. His falling rain, it descends on the deserving and on the not so deserving, on the just, but also on the unjust. We may find his beauty in all spaces and in all countries, in the vastness of the desert, those majestic mountains, the green grass, the still waters, the fertile soil, and yes, also the barren land. God's handiwork is available to all humanity. God comforts those who mourn, not just a select few, but rather comfort for all who mourn. His love, it does not discriminate, nor does it separate. Whatever God is doing, he is doing it as a fulfillment of his own being, and he is doing it universally. God does everything as fulfillment of his nature. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, it is true that individually, we do benefit from God's handiwork. However, we do not do so because we are special, unique in some way. We are all God's children. We benefit to the degree that we open our consciousness to receive the blessings and the grace of God. It is ever flowing, ever available, simply awaiting our acknowledgement and acceptance. God is the protecting, maintaining, and sustaining influence. Also, God is the loving and gentle influence. Therefore, the fatherhood and the motherhood of God are always being expressed. When you and I can accept this truth and stop asking God to do something special just for us or our loved ones, when we can do this, we will realize that God's handiwork is as much yours as mine, and as much mine as yours. We are one in this universe of expression. When we have reached this place of acceptance, we then enter into a completely new consciousness of life. We are consciously one with the nature of God, expressing His qualities, those attributes, and inherences. God expresses His nature in all of His creation. Now, I spoke a little bit ago of the terrestrial body. The Bible also speaks of the celestial body, explaining that it has its own glory. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one differs from another star in glory. Now, exactly what is glory? The dictionary defines glory as something that secures praise or renown, a distinguishing quality or asset. The sun, the moon, and the stars, they each have a quality unique to themselves, something that distinguishes them from all others, distinctive in their own name and identity, and yet the same source put them in place. God made all that was made, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. God assigned traits and characteristics to what He created, allowing each to reveal and express individually, according to its internal nature. Now, exactly what is the internal nature? Well, again, we go to the dictionary. It defines nature as the inherent quality or basic constitution of a person or thing, but also disposition, temperament, kind, and sort. In other words, the inherent quality is the very essence and core of one's being. There is one creator, one life, with a variety of expression. And each has its place in God's plan for creation. When we contemplate the glory of life, the question we ask is, how do we fit in the scheme of things? How does this all relate to us? So we reason that we are alive, meaning that we have a life. So the question now becomes, how shall we live this life? We have identity, and we have a name. We are aware of certain of our traits and characteristics. We have discovered our personal assets and talents, the ones that distinguish us from all others. Surely, this information will be helpful in obtaining a certain quality of life. But we also admit that much of this understanding came to us through observation of the terrestrial body, and not through knowledge concerning the innate essence and core of our being. We read those verses in 1 Corinthians, and we feel that true success lies in our ability to live according to our inner nature, according to our inherent qualities, the attributes that God assigned to us. However, exactly what are these qualities that God assigned? to our inner nature. What is the truth of us? And how do we allow it to express? Since all of life has particular traits and characteristics assigned to its nature, perhaps we can see how it works for others. Let us begin with the study of the nature of the sun in the sky. The verses in 1 Corinthians tell us there is a certain glory assigned to the sun. We feel certain that we could consider its light to be its glory, its way of expressing all that belongs to its nature. However, how does this work? Does the sun have to remind itself to shine? Now, experience has taught me that the sun will rise in the morning. Regardless of clouds in the sky outside my window, the sun will rise and shine somewhere. Now, please understand that the sun does not rise or shine simply because I expect it to do so. Nor do I pray to God, asking him to make sure that that sun comes out tomorrow, because I have something I want to do outdoors. Let us also understand that the sun does not turn to God each morning, asking for permission to rise and to shine. God gave the sun its own glory, and contained in that glory is everything necessary to express it. The sun does not resist its glory. Each day, it obeys that inner prompting to rise and to shine, because that is what it does, fulfilling its own innate nature to do so. What about those tides that ebb and flow? I do not have to remind God to tell the tides to come in or go out. God has already provided these instructions in their inner being. And when they ebb and when they flow, they do so to fulfill their nature. Now, you know, I could go on and on with all of nature. Who or what tells the birds to fly north or south in due season? Who or what tells the bear, now it's time to hibernate? Who or what tells the flower, now is the time to blossom and bloom? God planted in their inner being their time for expression. And when they obey the prompting, they fulfill their nature according to God's plan for creation. Now, in our time of daily living, our life experience, we take on many roles and we wear many hats, each requiring something of us. For instance, let us consider the role of a parent. Now, the role of a parent is to nurture and care for the child, not only to provide the material necessities, but also to teach the child value and meaning, what is important, significant in life, building character, essential for personal achievement and success. Now, many will admit that parenting is a very difficult job, and some really aren't that good at it. It requires patience, guidance, and understanding. And you know, it never really ends. The role of a parent never really ends. The parent is always the parent. The child will always be the child. Regardless of how many years go by or what their relationship might be. Many parents say it was all worthwhile, that they did it just for their children. Now, this may be true to a certain degree. However, It is also true that anything the parents have done, they did as the fulfillment of their own nature, as it applies to parents. Their parenting skills reflected their personal approach to parenthood. An artist may paint a picture. We may admire it and appreciate it. However, he does not paint it for you or for me, or even for the public in general. When the artist picks up that paintbrush and places it on the canvas, he is fulfilling his own nature to express his art. Now, it is possible that he hopes someone will like what he did. However, since he did not paint it for you or for me, it will not really matter. He will simply continue to fulfill his nature and keep on painting pictures, regardless if we like them or not. Anyone who has any experience with any form of art or literature or anything of a creative nature, they know that whatever he has done, he has had to do it in order to fulfill a fulfillment of himself. And he does not resist his glory. Now, I do think it would be natural that artists, poets, musicians, writers, they would like us to appreciate their work. However, even if no one buys their paintings, listens to their music, or purchases their books, still, they continue. They must express their glory, that which distinguishes them from all others. They cannot deny that inner urge to fulfill their nature. In Jeremiah 2:21, we read, "Yet I planted thee a noble vine, holy, a ripe seed." This seed is our spiritual nature. It is the truth of our being. Now, we do know a great deal about seeds. We know that contained in the seed is everything necessary for growth and development. However, it requires a process of unfoldment to bring it to fruition. For instance, when we plant those seeds that are necessary for our vegetable garden, we do not expect carrots, radishes, and corn to appear overnight. We understand the need to care for the seed, to nourish and feed the soil, exposing it to both sunshine and water. Cooperating with the law of expression concerning carrots, radishes, and corn. Now, we have read that verse in the book of Jeremiah that speaks of a noble vine, holy, a ripe seed. Learning about the spiritual seed planted in us, we are certain that this must be our glory. Like the rest of nature, we feel certain that contained in our glory is everything necessary for it to express. But you know, we also remember that it is described as a seed. And again, experience has taught us that a process of growth and maturity is required to bring a seed to fruition. Let us go back to that artist, the author, and the musician and see how did that work for them. Their creative talents required a time of development and growth. Now, the artist may have discovered an urge in him, prompting expression through art. It may have begun as an idea. You might call it a seed. He nurtured it by doing the necessary things. He went to art school, learning technique, shading, form, and color. And then he went to the Gallery of Art to study the works of the master artist. And then he spent many years with that paintbrush before he mastered his work, before he discovered his glory, fulfilling the nature of his being. The author and the musician discovered this to be true of their talent also. Actually, everything that we do begins as an idea or an urge prompting expression. And we do not confine this activity to just those with the creative intention. You see, any profession, any endeavor that we may attempt, requires a process to take it from idea to expression. Most of all, it does demand devotion, commitment, and dedication. The title of today's lesson is Fulfillment of Our Nature, Fulfillment of Our Inherent Qualities, Living from the Very Essence and Core of Our Being. True success is to discover our glory and let it shine. And so we return to that question. How do we nurture the seed of truth in our inner being? Yes, we understand there is a process involved before we arrive at that place where we fulfill our divine nature according to God's plan for creation. Exactly, what is the spiritual equivalent of rain and sunshine that are necessary for spiritual growth? Where do we start? Well, like the artist, we begin by doing the necessary things. We want to learn about truth, so we read books of truth. We attend lessons and seminars, listen to the spoken word that tells us about truth. When we do these things, we nurture the truth seeds planted in our consciousness. Words of truth are spiritual rain and spiritual sunshine. Because truth is spiritual, not intellectual, we must take it into our divine awareness to nurture and feed it from within, until eventually it comes forth as a realized or a demonstrated truth. Truth comes by inner revelation. However, in order to make it practical, it requires realization. Now, in the infancy of our spiritual growth, we may not be prepared or ready to accept all that we hear and all that we read about truth. You see, we can only accept according to where we are in consciousness. Some of it may take root, others of it may not. It may fall by the wayside. However, those that do take root, we readily accept. Something in us is in agreement. We abide in the truth we are able to accept. That is, we ponder and contemplate, allowing truth to reveal according to our ability to receive. What this simply means is that that seed is now planted in our consciousness, we may not yet be aware of our glory. The command is, be still and know. In our time of meditation, the seed is nurtured and cared for. It grows and it matures. And then one fine day, we sense and we know without a doubt that God is, and beside him there is none else. We experience the fruit of our labor. We realize the eternal truth about God's nature and God's being. We are one with God's nature and God's being. When we live as God's child, we fulfill our nature according to God's plan for creation. The divine seed planted in us matures to that place of glory, and all we can do is let it shine. This morning we have the opportunity to be still, turn within, and be consciously one with our Father, which art in heaven. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. There is awareness of peace and serenity. The mind and the body obey the command, be still and know that I am God. In the absence of thought, the soul is in charge. The soul's desire is to live in the Father's house, not moved or touched by the outer display. The spiritual self remembers from whence it came. Inwardly, it gives recognition to its divine origin. It rises and goes to the Father. When we obey the dictates of inner being, we lift our eyes on high. Our place of habitation is the kingdom of heaven, the realm of life that is not of this world. We become the beholder, allowing our divine nature to fulfill its purpose and its reason for being. We too may say, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Let us know that this is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.